Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and obviously an active comments page on the Zimmerman B-37 conversation. Keep it going if you want to keep talking to each other about that issue at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And as we continue to rotate through the New York City mayoral hopefuls, public advocate Bill de Blasio is back with us now. Among the reasons he's been in the news, he got arrested at the demonstration against the closing of Long Island College Hospital in Brooklyn last week. And he is getting more direct in criticizing Anthony Weiner, who seems to be hurting de Blasio's standing in the polls. Public advocate, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. And segueing briefly from our last segment, I know all of the mayoral hopefuls have issued statements denouncing the Zimmerman verdict over the weekend. Is there anything that distinguishes any of you on this, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's the way the issue comes home to New York. We have a fight right now over racial profiling in our city with our police force. There's a huge difference between the Democratic candidates on that issue. In fact, Anthony Weiner, Bill Thompson, Christine Quinn all oppose the racial profiling bill now in its process at the city council. Michael Bloomberg has said he will move heaven and earth to achieve a veto of that bill. I mean, it's a stark juxtaposition that it's not just the Stand Your Ground bill in Florida, which is a horrible, horrible development there, but the fact that here in New York City we're having a fight over whether to ban racial profiling. You'll remember a couple of weeks ago the mayor even claimed in a radio interview that there was no profiling. There's that level of denial. But I have to tell you, for folks all over the city who feel the overuse of stop and frisk has been unfair to their communities and particularly to their young men of color, the fact that we are touch and go on whether we're going to achieve a racial profiling ban is quite damning. And I think it's going to be a pretty dramatic fight in the coming weeks in this city.
If you were mayor, would you feel as free to actually publicly disagree with a jury verdict as you and pretty much all of your colleagues on the, you know, in the mayoral race did over the weekend in your tweets?
I understand the fact that leaders have to respect the jury system writ large. I think this was a particular moment that was so damning that it required a different kind of response. And remember, it was not just to say that this particular trial ended in an unjust manner. It was also a call for the Justice Department to come in and bring a civil case. I think there are times that are exceptional. And by the way, I'm thinking about, again, people who feel tremendously aggrieved around the city, around this country, that we lost a 17-year-old unarmed young man because of a law that somehow made it permissible to kill him. I think that demands a response. And again, but right here in the city, I have to tell you,
it's happened
very
with,
personal,
you know,
for people.
The police who were on trial for Sean Bell's killing, for Amadou Diallo's killing. Would you stand up and say, I denounce the jury?
I, again, would never make it a common practice, to say the least, but there are a few exceptional moments, and the Zimmerman trial was one of them.
All right. Litch, the hospital in Brooklyn, did you set out to get arrested last week at that demonstration to make a point?
Oh, yeah. I've been involved in civil disobedience before. I think it's a tool you use when the democratic system isn't functioning properly when it comes to hospital closures. The deafening silence, particularly from the mayor. We've also not heard from the governor on this. It demanded a different kind of action. You know, for folks in much of Brooklyn, right now, two hospitals could be lost this summer. We could lose Long Island College Hospital. We could lose Interfaith before the summer is out. Several more in Brooklyn threatened behind it. I think there's a sense in Brooklyn and other parts of the city that this diminishment of health care, particularly for, you know, working and poor people, is becoming rampant, and it required a more intense, a more dramatic response, and that's why I chose to get arrested.
Do you have a reaction to today's news about Mount Sinai merging with the Continuum hospitals, which include Beth Israel and St. Luke's Roosevelt? The Times says less competition could lead to higher prices.
That's something to be concerned about. And I'm just getting the details now, and I need to look into the plan. But I am concerned about higher prices, and I'm concerned about access to health care overall. It's not a pretty picture in the city right now. We've lost almost a dozen hospitals during the Bloomberg years, most visibly, most notably, St. Vincent's, which served a huge swath of the west side of Manhattan and could have been saved through a merger. And again, the government failed to intervene and help make that merger happen. So the overall picture in healthcare in this city appears to be exceedingly subjective and based on a series of actions that have nothing to do with the public interest. So I want to take a close look at this merger. But job one is to stop the loss of hospitals in communities that need them in this city.
By the way, you mentioned Ray Kelly's stop and frisk policy. Senator Schumer is promoting Kelly for Homeland Security Secretary now that Janet Napolitano is leaving. And President Obama fueled speculation yesterday by saying Kelly is well qualified. Do you oppose Ray Kelly for DHS?
No, I don't. But I do oppose him to continue as police commissioner of New York City. And I've been very clear about that. I think the overuse of stop and frisk, which he was the architect, has really poisoned the well in terms of police community relations.
So if not one, why not the other, especially with the other Kelly controversy having to do with surveillance of Muslims?
Look, let me just be clear about the situation here. The situation here is that it's time for him to move along. He's not in a position to bring the reform to the NYPD we need. He has resisted oversight for the NYPD, obviously resisted the racial profiling bill, which we're going to be fighting over this summer. So I think it's time for him to move along. I leave it to the president to decide what makes sense for Homeland Security. But in terms of New York City, it's time for a new police commissioner.
Mayoral hopeful Bill de Blasio, the New York City public advocate, with us. The latest Quinnipiac poll came out this week, as you well know. And again, Anthony Weiner is leading with Christine Quinn close behind and the rest of you down around 10%. Why do you think you aren't catching on more by now?
I don't think the public's engaged in this election yet. I think the polling, of course, is capturing a lot of folks who probably will not end up voting in the end, and I'm not happy about the fact that the vast majority of Democrats will not vote, but that's the truth. I think in terms of a bigger debate, a bigger focus level, it just hasn't happened yet in this city. When that does happen, I think people are looking for fundamental change. I really do. I talk to folks in subway stops and street corners all over the city. They are deeply concerned about the unaffordability of our neighborhoods, about the dumbing down of wages and benefits, about the problems between police and community, and they want a reset. I did not want to continue Bloomberg policies. That's what I hear from Democrats all over the city, and I think when people really focus, they're going to want the kind of approach I'm talking about.
You seem to be going after Weiner more explicitly in some of your recent comments. Do you think that's necessary for you to prevail?
No, I've been asked a couple of specific questions, and I've answered them just that. I think the bottom line is, you know, the some elements of the media, I would certainly not indict this particular show, but some elements of the media have been more focused on celebrity than the issues facing the city. I mean, it's a lot. Look at this racial profiling bill, the fact that this is an incredibly important decision for the future of the city. It's not getting the attention it deserves. Celebrity gets plenty of attention. I think as the election draws closer, that will change because I think people will demand a more substantive kind of coverage.
Next week, we'll be doing an on-air and online project called Has Bloomberg Made You Richer? It's obviously part of a Bloomberg Legacy series. Would you say our billionaire business-savvy mayor has been a net plus for New York City's economy and the incomes of most New Yorkers?
I think he's been a net plus for the incomes of wealthy New Yorkers. There's no question. I mean, look, he has pursued a series of policies that haven't responded to the income disparity crisis in this city. This is literally the greatest point of income disparity since the Great Depression. There's been a dumbing down of wages and benefits. The middle class in this city is not just shrinking, it is in danger of disappearing. I've called for a tax on wealthy New Yorkers, and I have to tell you that gets an incredibly positive response. It's not punitive, it's not negative. It's saying that those who are doing better and better in this moment under Bloomberg's leadership need to help the rest of us out, and particularly need to help out our public school kids. And I think the public sees that this reality in this town is the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. It's not a phrase. It's a reality that really doesn't sustain us for the future, and we need policies that are going to be more about equity and about closing that economic gap.
The Times had an editorial on all this today called Jobs in the City, which mentions you, by name and your higher income tax increase proposal and lays out what it sees as some of the contradictions for you and other progressive candidates, including, quote, can a good business climate coexist with the higher taxes and more onerous regulations that some candidates are promising or threatening? And can a future mayor promise higher wages, happier unions, and more opportunities for minority and female-owned companies and not send corporations fleeing to New Jersey? How do you answer those questions?
I think business leaders will tell you that the most important factor for them in deciding their future in a city is whether there's a good school system. And, I mean, that and, I guess, public safety are the two fundamental considerations. Of course, every business leader, everyone would like lower taxes in a perfect world. But our schools are simply not succeeding with a huge swath of our children. They're failing particularly a lot of children of color, a lot of less advantaged kids. It's not a groundwork for the future of this city or for the future of our workforce. And we've got to do something about it. The tax I propose is a small increase for folks who make $500,000 or more. It's not going to break the bank for them, I guarantee you, but it will make a huge impact. If we have full-day pre-K guaranteed for every child, if we have after-school programs guaranteed for every middle school child, those are difference makers in our school system that will help reset our public schools to serve us better for the future. And I think a lot of folks in the business sector will come to understand that that kind of investment is worthy.
Last thing, we just have 15 seconds. Are you endorsing between Spitzer and Stringer for comptroller?
I endorsed Scott Stringer a long time ago. I think he'd be a fantastic comptroller, a progressive, a consistent progressive, and someone who's been there on issues day in and day out while his opponent obviously was absent for quite a while. And Scott Stringer also has tremendous integrity. I think when the public looks at that, I think he will win the day.
Bill de Blasio, New York Public Advocate. Mayoral hopeful, obviously. Thank you very much. As we continue to rotate through the candidates, we'll keep talking.
Always like to be here, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we have the ambassador to the U.S. from South Africa as Nelson Mandela turns 95 tomorrow, plus a guest from Trans Africa, which was so integral to the anti-apartheid struggle once upon a time. So we'll talk to them coming up in a minute.